anniversary.
Oh, no, that
this
mic
album's
is bad.
Celebrating an anniversary.
So, speaking of bad mics, yes, that mic is bad. So, we realised that in the news.
And we're on the good mic.
Yeah, yeah, you're on the good mic, the golden mic.
The golden mic, yes. Yeah. Hi.
Hi, hi, Sam. Sorry.
No, that's
great. I feel like you messed up this beginning already.
Yeah, so today we're looking at the Beatles' 1968 album, The White Album, as yes. It's become known as. It's turning 50 this year, and I chose this album this week because it's being reissued this Friday, remastered and with new unreleased demo tracks and outtakes from the sessions.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah.
Those record labels really know how to time things.
Get more money into the coffers, as they say.
Re-release.
Kablamo. Yeah. Yeah. But so that's coming out if you're interested in hearing some new stuff.
Well, half a century for an iconic album does need a reissue, I suppose. Like,
yeah.
There's a whole generation of people, and it's just in time for Christmas.
Exactly.
These people are marketing geniuses.
I know. Just get it out there. Get it in the Christmas stocking.
Yeah.
So just a bit bit of background about what was going on before this album came out. So the origins of this album began in India, of all places.
Yes.
The band were on a retreat there in 1968 where they were learning transcendental meditation under the guide of a man called the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And they were in this town called Rishikesh. And basically they were learning meditation with a whole bunch of other celebrities, people like Mia Farrow, Donovan, Mike Love. Lots of musicians and film stars. And while they were there, they also wrote a whole bunch of songs, as you do when you're learning meditation.
Mm.
You know, the creative juices get flowing. And yeah, a lot of those songs would end up on what became known as the White Album.
Mm.
So when they got back from India, they went into the studio and the sessions for this album lasted about 5 months. So it's quite long and lengthy. And they were quite difficult sessions, actually. It was during the recording of this album that cracks began to appear in the band. Ringo actually left the sessions halfway through. He quit the band, saying his role in the group wasn't appreciated by the other members.
Well, what did he write? Like Octopus's Garden?
Yeah, that's one.
That one's not as good as the other ones.
No, it's
so
not that great, is
he
it?
He should actually know.
Yeah, exactly.
His place.
True, true.
I love Ringo, by the way. I'm not saying any hate against him, but you know.
The engineer also got a bit pissed off as well, and he left. And
oh, really?
So it was quite tense, you know, quite tense. And quite telling, because most of the songs here on this album were actually recorded individually in separate studios. It was really the first time where they weren't really a band. They were just doing their own solo stuff and, you know, helping out now and again on each other's tracks, but really just doing their own things collectively, which gives this album quite a unique feel in that a lot of the tracks feel as little solo projects rather than like a collective group project, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
And it's quite telling also because this album is quite long. There's like 30 tracks on it. It's a double album and there's just a lot of tracks and a lot of projects happening, and it's quite diverse musically here. You've got everything from rock to musical to country to blues to avant-garde. It's a pretty much every style imaginable. It's a bit of a smorgasbord of different musical styles coming out here.
Yes.
So we're going to start with the opening track of the record. It's called Back in the USSR, of course. Paul McCartney wrote this while in India. Kind of a Beach Boys type parody. It's got quite a Beach Boys style pop thing going on. The backing vocals quite Beach Boys influenced. And this was actually recorded when Ringo had left the band. So Paul is actually playing drums on this track.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The fighting.
I know.
All right. Let's hear it. Oh, yeah, it's got that.
It's got the jet engine.
How modern.
I know, eh?
Back in the USSR.
Take off.
Flying away.
To the Soviet Union.
Not to this next song Siberia. Played prematurely. Okay.
Yeah, so that's back in the USSR.
Yeah.
Yeah, very energetic opening track.
Boisterous.
Very boisterous. The next track we're going to play, we're going to move to side two of the record and skip about 20 songs because there's just so many songs. this track is called Your Blues.
Yes.
And it was also written in India. This is a John Lennon track, and this basically is pretty much a blues jam, blues rock jam. It's also one of the few tracks on the record where all four members were actually playing on it, which is obviously a rarity in this time of upheaval and crisis.
Hey, is this just before they play on the roof?
Oh, yeah, this was about a year before that, yeah.
Because they broke up.
Yeah.
And then they were like...
Get back
like
together.
The White Album kind of ruined them.
And then they went and...
And then they got more famous, and then they're like, let's just go play on the roof.
Yeah, that was in 69.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, but things were even worse by that stage.
Probably, yeah. Man, what a rat's buzz.
I know.
But what great songs.
I know.
I'm enjoying this.
Yes, I'm lonely. Wanna die. Yes, I'm lonely. Wanna die. If I ain't dead already. Girl, you know the reason why. You know the reason why. Soul. Feel so suicidal, even hate my rock and roll.
Yeah, yeah.
You're blues.
And guess who just walked in? Adele. You might want to just speak into that yellow mic because the other one sucks.
We can hear the golden mic.
Yeah, but yeah, Adele was filling in for Sam when you were going all over the world, Sam. Yeah, what do you think about the White Album, man?
Oh, what would you be listening to?
No, the White Album. Album.
We're listening to the White Album. Oh, there, there's that. Oh, crap. So I walked in out of my zone. I do really like the White Album, despite its filler.
What tracks are filler in your opinion?
Oh crap, why did I bring this up? probably piggies, like obviously. Yeah, Piggies. Why Don't We Do It on the Road?
Fair enough.
And I'll probably chuck in damn. I think I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that.
All right, well, tell us
Revolution
about this.
Revolution 9?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, okay. Revolution 9. Now, I feel like it's pretty cool to have a song like that on there, despite it not sounding that great.
It's just a bunch of, you know, tape loops and stuff, or screaming. And I think Yoko Ono makes an appearance on that track.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love when she performs with
Yoko's them. Great. I don't understand the flack she gets, to be honest.
Well, I mean, you know, there's just a bunch of misogynists out there.
Let's just talk about the reception and the legacy of this album. Yes, so pretty much like all Beatles albums, it was a great success commercially and critically, despite the band being pretty much a fractious entity at the time.
That's very good.
Yeah, yeah. Fractious entity, pretty much cracks appearing in the wall.
Fractious.
Critics were impressed with the songwriting, the more earnest feel of the songs, the less reliance on studio tricks. What else? A lot of people said it was even better than Sarge and Pepper. So there you go.
Excuse me?
I know. High praise indeed. The people that didn't like the album, they said it was too long, that it lacked a purpose. One critic even said that half the songs were profound mediocrities and described the album boring beyond belief. So, you know, not everyone liked it, but it still went to number one in the US and the UK and sold 10 million copies in the United States alone. So there you go. And in terms of its wider legacy, it's considered by many to be the best double album of all time and had a major influence on the concept of the double album, which was still a new thing in 1968. Double albums were kind of, you know, still finding their way, and it wasn't until much later that people actually started to make double albums quite regularly. But it was still new at that time. But it does mark the point that in many people's eyes, the group began breaking up, and obviously the next 2 years they would be gone.
Yeah.
Just like that.
So the White Album was also like a breakup
album.
A swan scone.
A swan scone. Or a swan song.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it was pretty much all down.
Swans even eat scones?
I guess if you gave them one.
Maybe.
You never know.
They probably would.
We'll go down to Western Springs later and try it.
Yeah, let's check it out.
But anyway, we're going to finish with a classic track, While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Yeah, boy.
George Harrison's song, of course. And this one actually features Eric Clapton on lead guitar because no one wanted to play on it. So they brought in Eric Clapton.
Well, you know, that is not really... That's more of an upgrade, isn't it?
Pretty much. Well, yeah.
Don't you reckon?
Well, at the time, Eric Clapton was, like, considered the...
No one wants to play in our band.
We'll just get Eric. Eric, hey, man, come in. I'm going to play on your song, and then I'm going to steal your wife later on.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Sam, for coming in.
Bye.
And thanks for dropping by the studio as well, Adele. Let's enjoy this song together as one big happy family.
Happy family. The Beatles weren't a happy family then.
But we are. I don't know how
one controlled you. They bought and sold you. I look at the world and I notice it's turning. Surely be learning. Still my guitar gently weeps.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.